This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
There's still an echo here. Hello. Moet ek die ander mic gebruik? He says, we tend to stand around the braai. You know, we also know braai. And then we talk about what we're going to do. But that's about where it stays. It stays there, the braai. It gets digested there with the choppy you just ate. And that's where it ends. So he's obviously a motivational speaker, etc. About that one must just stop talking and start doing. So I guess my sermon comes from that a little bit, but you know, there's a topic in Scripture that's fundamental to us being Christians, and it's called faith, walking in faith. And that is an adventurous lifestyle. To walk and to live by faith is a spiritual non-stop adventure. Because, and I've got nothing against, I think it's actually amazing what they do. He's on another trip, by the way, Rian Manser. I'm starting to like this guy a lot. But he's now rowing with somebody across the Atlantic Ocean. I think that's what he's doing. But that's one thing to do adventurous things like that, and I'm not talking about that. But as a Christian, if we pass away, we should be able to say that we've had an adventurous spiritual life, one that is full of faith, that is challenging at times, but it is not dead. It is something that is alive. It is constantly evolving, constantly working, and central to that, this type of relationship is faith. And I'm going to just talk about faith today. So my question to you is, which you must ask yourself, is do you still walk in faith? Because, I'm going to ask that question constantly. You must figure it out. Do you still walk in faith? And we're going to look at what faith means, etc., where it comes from, the different types of faith, and do you have faith? And how do you get faith? How do you get more faith, etc.? The first scripture is Luke 18, verse 8. It says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So, again, that is a question, but the question is, if God looks at you today, at you and me today, does he see somebody that walks in faith? Okay, maybe I actually need to explain faith a little bit. But I think most of us here know what faith means. So the question is, if Jesus comes into your life now, does he see faith? Will he see some faith? Okay, I'll quickly, not that I'm going to explain the definition right now, but faith is the opposite to this world explains, and this world operates on facts and what's reality and what we see right in front of us right now. That's fine. We all need to have a degree of that because it's life. You know, you can't say my car's tank is empty, but I believe in Jesus' name this I'm going to drive. You're not going to drive. If it's empty, it's a fact. So, you know, we live in that world. But living in this world where it's only factual based and what we can see and experience and we need to budget and plan and all those things, it automatically draws away and pulls us away. You can allow yourself to be drawn away from faith, from things that, and we'll look at it later, faith. What does God say? What did he say to you that you must believe or pray for now? You can't see it yet. It's not there. You can't show anybody. But you believe it. You've got that faith. That is the question here. When Jesus comes back, and Jesus is not going to ask the pastors and the people at the top, he's going to ask, he's going to look for faith. He's looking for faith in your life today. In other words, are you still believing God for things? And I don't want to use the word breakthrough, but are you with me? Faith is the only avenue of approach to God. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith. Do you still please God? Or do we just leave? And you know, I've realized it again. It's something that one has to check constantly. But the way in which we speak, talk, is sometimes a gauge of whether we are in faith or not. I'm probably the first one that needs to repent, but for instance, use our government, not government, our country's economy. So it's easy to start talking about that, and I do that, and I think one should engage in all of that, not pretend that it's not there. It's a big elephant in the room. It's there. We can talk, we can go down that horrible path of, oh, it's horrible, we're going to all not make it, etc. It's terrible, and they're doing, or is our word, not that it should be devoid of truth, and when we see problems and the wrong decisions, etc., I believe we can be open and talk about it. But is there some faith in our talking? Do we add some element to the chat at the bride that somebody else that doesn't know God doesn't add? Do we bring some faith there? Do we say, no, amen? Okay, don't say too much amen when people don't know God around you. You can, but do we bring an element of faith? Do we bring an element, I don't even want to use the word positiveness with us? Or do we speak as the world speaks? Well, you will not please God without faith, without having some goal in your life, a faith goal. And I don't even want to talk about faith goals. You know, I'm pretty sure that Paul and the early church didn't speak to the people and say, what is your faith goal? Faith was just in the mix. Now, faith goals is something that pastors nowadays have to think out to get the Christians in church to start living a life of faith. The church, early church, didn't have to think about what's my faith goal. They lived in faith. Do you and I live in faith? I want to just unlock today, not condemn all of us, but unlock in you. Maybe God has spoken to you about some things in your life, but that you can live an adventurous life of faith in Christ. Amen. Okay. There is a historic, there's two parts to faith, and I'm just quickly touching on historical faith, and then we're going to go to the biblical faith component. Historical faith, there's the scripture, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11, the Apostle Paul states its value. Sorry, that's not a quote. Let me read you the quote, the scripture. Now all things happened to them as examples, as they were written for our admonition, upon which the end of the ages have come. Historical faith is primarily the Bible. And this scripture says that the scripture, the Bible, was given to us so that we can have a reference, like a whole library of historical faith. We can have a book of things that happened long ago, and it is an example of historical faith unfolding. And in you and in our lives, the importance of that is it teaches us things. The scripture teaches us stuff that we don't have to go through and experience. We can learn from scripture. So there's a component of just looking at the Bible and what God did for his people, and that historical faith can be very valuable to us. You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that my question to you is, do you believe everything that the Bible says? Now, I guess most of us here would say yes. But I remember going to my first year Bible school long ago, and they were talking about evolution and creation. I walked in there, saved, and I still believed in evolution. Luckily, I walked out of Bible school one, stopped believing in evolution, and started believing in creation. My question to you is, do you believe everything historically in the Bible as correct, and is it part of your faith? Do you still question? I'll bring in another controversial topic, because I like to be controversial. That's the type of person I am. Baptism. Do you believe? Now, I know that God works with people differently. I have also realized that I cannot be too stubborn about that. I must accept that. So God would speak to some people a little bit, I don't even want to say slower, he'll just take his time, but other people it's a lot quicker. But for instance, do you believe in baptism? I hear a lot of people that, not in our church, but they question baptism. Should I get baptized? I don't know if I'm going to get baptized. The scripture says you must get baptized. Do you have faith in Scripture? Do you have faith in everything that Jesus says there? Do you have faith that you can be healed? that Jesus still heals. Another aspect of historical faith is just where you look back onto your life and say, but God, I remember God came through in my life in that situation. Do we use those historical moments of faith where God came through? Do we apply it? Are we still thankful for it now in our lives? You know, when the Israelites, I'm not sure which river, probably the Jordan, but they went through the Jordan River, and God said, build a monument there so that you can remember this, so that you can recall this, so that you can say down the line 10 years when everything is not so great, where you're going through a tough time, do you have some stuff that you can recall that helps you now to get through? You know, what was your life like before Christ? How did it look like? I think sometimes I'm such an unthankful Christian. You know, because I got saved about 20 years ago. And now you start adding complaints and murmuring and moaning to your Christianity. But you forget where you came from. You forget what you were before Christ dealt with you. How do you have such monuments in your life? Are you still thankful for such things that God did in your life? You know, I'd say, as a child, we went to church every Sunday, I think. If we skipped one, it was bad news. I don't know why we would have skipped. But I don't remember going to church so much. I know I went there. But that isn't what stood out from my childhood as growing up in a godly home. What I do remember is the times when faith manifested in our house. I remember some times when when my dad said, let's just thank God for this breakthrough that came into our lives now. We were praying for this and it happened. Those are the things I remember. Those are the things you cannot get it out of my mind because I saw faith manifest right in front of me. It wasn't a religious activity of going to church on Sundays. My question here is, for those of us that have children, do we portray that faith to our children? Or do we fall into a rut of going to church on Sunday? I want to tell you, please, you know, skip some Sundays. No, I can't say that. But just make sure that you let your children experience faith, not religion. That's the thing that when I got to varsity, that's why I ran so far away from the church, because I want to get rid of the religion, and I wanted to have a relationship. Okay, amen. Are you with me? Faith. Children, now I'm on a different topic. Children, remember that stuff when dad and mom trusted God for this thing and there was no resources that could make it happen and it happens. That's what they remember. Make sure you get those things in your life. Amen. That's historical faith. Maybe it was a bit of a bad explanation, but that's fine. Let's go to biblical faith because this is what we want to talk about. Now, you need to look at the second bullet there. Let's just read that scripture. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, let's look at the first bullet. This is from Kenneth Hagin. Faith is grasping the unrealities of hope and bringing them into the realm of reality. Now, if you read this to any agnostic, atheist type of person that says you must reason just with this brain, it makes no sense. And it's supposed to not make sense in the natural because it's a spiritual concept. But it says you must have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are you talking about? The evidence of things not seen. And that is what I'm saying, that our world, and in a Western world, wherever, you know, I think further up Africa, if you read this book from Rian Mansa, you're actually exposed to having more faith just because things are a bit chaotic. But our lives is geared to, you know, my life must be sorted. There must be so much money in the bank. Then I can make it and I can, we control everything. And it's only what we can see. But faith is not that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Let's look at the fourth bullet there. Faith is giving substance to things hoped for. Faith is the warranty deed, the thing for which we have finally hoped is at last ours. Next bullet there, some definitions for the word faith is, it's a firm persuasion, it's a belief, a reliability, A confidence, a trust, an assurance, or a strong conviction. Is it up there? Yes. A strong conviction. So faith is based on two components. We trust God that what He promised. We trust Him. He's reliable. And then, doesn't matter how outrageous it is, we know He's got the power to perform it. He's got the ability to perform it. He's got the ability to do what He said He would do. It's a strong conviction, firm persuasion. You know, how many times, you find yourself, I find myself something, you come into contact with somebody that doesn't know Christ and his life is shambles and a mess and they're in all kinds of sinful stuff in their lives. And you think it, maybe we speak it also a little bit, and we're like, this guy, no, not him. It's not going to happen. He's not going to meet God. It's not possible. That is not faith. Because faith would be, you have a strong conviction that when this man meets Christ, yes, there's a lot of stuff that this gospel needs to go through. But if that gospel finds a little gap, and it eats that man's heart, he changes. And I know that. Amen. Do we still speak, pray, believe like that? With that strong conviction where with Jesus said, and there's some stuff in Scripture that we know He does. We don't even have to pray for it. We know He saves. So if you have got a word for somebody and you can just see past all the stuff, the sin that is such a mountain for you, and just trust God and pray with fervency that God, just give me a gap into this man's life. Maybe it's not me, maybe it's somebody else. But if the gospel penetrates your heart, I know you're going to get saved. Your life is going to be flipped around and you're going to follow Christ. But we don't pray like that because we have a lack of faith. Am I stirring something in you? I hope I do. It's not to make you afraid. It's to tell you that if you start operating in faith, we pray differently, we speak differently, we act differently. Who have you seen? I almost said Chamberlain. That's not, what's that guy from Malawi that was here last year? What's his name? Michael Howard, not Chamberlain. Michael Howard. Man, speaks with such authority, such a strong conviction. You know, when God places something in His heart, and it's a promise, it's like, I don't even care if none of the facts around me fall in line. But if He said it, it's going to get done. Do we believe like that? I want to tell you, I want to stir faith in you. I want to say, there's some people here, that's what I felt when I prepared for this, and this morning, whatever, is that there's some promises in your life that are just so old and dead. But you know what? God says His gifts are irrevocable. That means they're still there. They just need to be swept clean a little bit. But they are there. And I want to get those things awake in you. God wants to get them awake and that you can start operating in faith. Not again, but just a bigger measure of faith. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's go on. Still the same scripture. The faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. There is two realities in life. Now, I spoke to somebody this holiday, and you know, one needs to be careful because sometimes you try and explain a spiritual concept to somebody that doesn't know God, and it's like you can see the mist cloud going over their face. It's like you just talk, but you can see they don't even grasp it. And that's because there is two realms. I can never say that word. It must be an Afrikaans thing. Realms. The one is the natural realm, the reality. But there is a spiritual reality. And in the natural, that's what I want to talk about now. In the natural, the facts dominate. You don't have enough money in the bank now. Facts, that's it. But there is also a spiritual reality, which is a higher reality. And we are exposed to it when we are born again as Christians. And that's a spiritual reality. And that, for instance, the natural reality would say, the facts say that people don't walk on water. But when Jesus said, I want to walk on water, He walked on water. So He transcended that natural reality, And he walked on water. And that in that reality, truth dominates. Jesus said, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. So if I say you walk on water, you walk on water. Amen. When I say you're healed, you're healed. So I find myself very stuck in this bottom natural reality. And I don't want to say that this, it is just human nature. We sometimes get frustrated because, and that's fine. I can just promise you, you're not going to go through life as a Christian not being frustrated at some time, because God promises you something in the spiritual, but the natural just doesn't want to manifest. I am acknowledging that there can be frustration when these two don't want to line up. And that's fine. We need to help each other through that. I can't pretend here that you're going to always walk there in the spiritual realm and reality, and nothing is going to faze you. No, you're going to get fazed and get frustrated. That's okay. But the fact is that there is a spiritual reality, and that is where faith operates in. It's a high reality. Where am I now? Where? So where do you and I operate? And I was quite, my sermon is challenging the life out of me. But how permeated is my Christian walk with faith? You know, I think when it comes with getting married and having children, because your responsibility grows, and there's a natural aspect to that. You have to provide, you have to work. So you tend to, if you're not prudent with it, you can be drawn into this bottom reality level constantly. And because there's this, you just have to make life work sometimes. I don't know how to put it, but it's there. But it can draw you down to such a level where you never operate in faith anymore. My question to you is, what is God telling you? What are the promises he's told you? What's in you? What's the faith that God wants to stir through you? Not your pastors, not your leaders, you. What is he telling you? What is the promises that God wants to manifest through you? You know, one of the things I wrote down here is that I would say a healthy church, and you can't fire me. I always say, you can't fire me because I don't work here. So I can say what I want, more or less. I can be stopped. You know, that can happen. But a healthy church, or an unhealthy church, let me start there, would be a church where the pastor needs to think of all the evangelistic events, all the outreach events, all the deliverance events, and you follow what he says you must do. That's an unhealthy church. A healthy church is where the pastor almost has to stop some people and say, oh, it's too much, you know. Are you with me? It's one way the faith is manifested in the people. And the people say, I want to do this. And the pastor just says, okay, do it. Do it. And he's the one that can just sit back and relax and see how the faith manifests in front of him. That's a healthy church. You know, there's some stuff I'm telling you that's in you, and it's because of your makeup, how God made you, how you wired, that Yaku cannot think of the plans that God has for you because he's not wired like you. Jesus needs to speak to you, and the faith needs to manifest through you. Amen. There's some stuff you must do that you're called to do, and it cannot happen through somebody else. We're going to get to that later. Maybe you sit here this morning and say, but I don't have a lot of faith. Yeah, you don't need a lot. Maybe that's the next thing I want to say. Let me see. Yes, I actually want to skip to that one, and then I will come back. Can we skip a few slides? Sorry. Let me just get myself here. Okay, where does faith come from? Next slide. To Romans 12, verse 3. Go down to that. Nog 2, 3, 4. Kom dan nie. Nog 1. Nog. Nog 1. Ja. Where does faith come from? And the scripture I don't have up there, but the first source of faith, I don't have the scripture here now. But it comes from God. And there's a scripture that says, sorry, I have it here. God has given each one a measure of faith. Romans 12 verse 3. And there's another scripture where God speaks about, even if you have faith like a mustard seed. So that point that I'm trying to make here is, God has given every human being a measure of faith. And that's why he uses the parable of a mustard seed. It can be this much and it can grow into a massive tree. Nobody here today is excused saying, I don't have a lot of faith. Yes, maybe you've got a little bit less than some people, but you have something. Nobody is excused. You have something. The question is, what are you doing with that? Are you allowing God for that mustard seed to germinate and to grow into something? Or are you looking at somebody else's faith? What is God doing in that guy's life, in this guy's life? Stop that. You've got faith. God has given you a measure of faith. The second source of faith, I want to go to the third bullet there, is the Word of God. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing and by hearing of the Word of God. Another scripture says that the Word of God is living. You know, faith comes by reading God's Word. Whether you understand everything that you read or not, but it comes by hearing and reading the Word of God. You're like a spiritual reservoir, and a lot of Christians are so empty. You know, and you can hear it, and I'm not saying I'm not one of those, but you can sometimes hear it in people's prayer lives. Somebody that's filled with God's Word, that studies His Word, his prayer life is just different. He prays differently. Some of us, including myself, sometimes pray, Lord, bless me and protect me. That's where it stops. But it's because I'm empty of faith. My reservoir needs to be filled with the Word of God so that I get the faith inside of me, because God's Word is living. So for some of you, you'd say, maybe I don't understand what I'm reading. I don't care. Read your Bible. Get that deposit into your spirit. Then the second one, the second bullet is, when one starts to read the Word of God, gets filled with the Word of God, one starts to understand the will of God. A source of faith is to understand God's will. Lamentation 3:37. Who is he who speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? It must be in God's will. Nothing can come to pass if it's not in God's will. Some of us don't know what God's will for our lives is. How do you get that? You study the Word of God. You ask God, reveal your word and your will to me. That's again like Michael Howard. I remember some of the stuff, you know, he says it in passing, and my mouth hangs open at his understanding of Scripture and the will of God. But if we start praying, say, God, what is your will? What is your will for my life? What is your will for the school that my children are in? What is your will for the business I'm working in? And you start to get that will. That's when faith gets stirred in you. Are you with me? The Word of God. And the next one, the last source of faith is the Holy Spirit. Spending time with the Holy Spirit. It says there in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13, the one who comes along... No, sorry, read me rather. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So the sources of faith is God gives you. You don't have nothing. You have something. You start reading the Word of God. This is all very basic stuff, people. You get your spiritual reservoir filled. Then you start getting a grasp of God's will. And when you get that, it's exciting, man. God starts showing you stuff, different things at that school, in this place. Then you start praying the will of God, and that stirs faith in you. And by spending time with the Holy Spirit, He's called the Spirit of Faith. He reveals things to us. Are you with me? Okay, now let's go back. What is the foundation of faith? Donnie, now you must go up to Scripture is James 1:17. The foundation of faith is understanding the character of God, understanding who God is. Again, I'll use Michael Howard as an example. Let me not use him. I'll ask you a question. How do you feel about yourself spiritually if you make a mistake? If you make a mistake, you do something wrong, you commit some sin or whatever, how do you feel about yourself? How do you feel at that moment God feels about you? And I'll tell you how a lot of you feel, because I'm one of those. And that is not to say that sin, there's no effects of sin. It's like a child, when you tell a child not to do something specific, I'm trying to think of something now, like yesterday, don't stand in the sun for 12 hours without sunblock. You know, I'm not trying to be stupid or funny or make rules. I know what happens if you stand in the sun for 12 hours. You burn. Jy raak 'n kreef. Jy raak rooi soos 'n kreef. So the child might not understand that, but you as a father know the consequences of not listening to me now. You're going to burn and have pain. Okay? The same applies with God. So he doesn't want sin in our lives because he knows the pain that it brings in our lives. But we sometimes think that if you commit the sin and you do something wrong, is that his way of thinking about you, the love that he has for you changes, because that's how the worldly love works. It's reciprocal. Huh? It's performance-based. You need to perform, then I will like you. Now, I know you might say no this morning, but I know some of us go into guilt and condemnation when we make a mistake. The point I'm trying to make to you is, if you feel like that, then I'm telling you, you don't have a complete revelation of God's love for you. Because his love doesn't change whether or not you're in his will or not in his will. Your experience is painful or nice. That's the difference. Does it make sense? I think it makes sense. But God... faith is founded in your understanding of how God feels about you. James 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Ephesians 1:13, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places and in Christ. Do you understand? Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know that God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing? You know that you might not have everything physically that you need or want, but spiritually, God is a God that gives and blesses, and he's giving you every spiritual blessing. Do you understand it? Do you live by that? Do you feel like a special child? Not a special, just a child in God's presence. I want to challenge you sometimes. You need to go and wrestle with God so that you can understand how he feels about you. Because it's out of that living revelation of God's love for you that faith is stirred. That's where fear gets pushed out and faith comes in. Because many of us are so afraid to ask God, what is your plan for me? Because we're afraid of what he's going to say. It's not perfect love. It's not perfect love if we can't pray those prayers. And we all go through that, it's fine. But I'm telling you, you've got a God that I want you to get excited about when you ask those questions. God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want to take me? What have you placed inside of me? What faith? What is inside of me? Because you love me. And I know I want to die. And then if I die, it's like, God, thank you for this adventure that I've been on. Wow. God loves. And I can't say more about that. And I don't have a perfect faith. But my faith and your faith, it will be and is rooted in your understanding of how much God loves you and his character. I just have a few more things to share. Then we can. Faith requires action. I've messed up my own routine here a little bit. But in James 1:22 it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Faith will and must manifest in action. If it doesn't, it's not faith. Faith speaks. It's the next topic I want to talk about. Faith will eventually get itself to come out of your mouth. Speaking. That's why prophecy is so important. Let me read the scripture. Romans 4:17, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God wants us as Christians, and I will use myself as an example, that I'm not alone in that. My child is going to a school, PSS school, fantastic school, and I'm starting to feel, and I've already done it luckily, and there's other people that are teachers there, but I cannot wait, and I cannot criticize that school. I need to speak life into that school. I am part of the solution. Nobody else. Me. I need to start praying and prophesying over that school. I need to speak things like the scripture says that is not there, yet there, as if they are there, because that is faith. You know, you can hear how somebody speaks, and we can have bad experiences, but what comes out of our mouth can be death or life. And one can hear if you live in faith by how you speak about things. Now, yes, you can see the mistakes that are in places, but then you can prophesy and pray differently over those things. You and I have to sound different than this world, how they speak and how they talk about people. We have to be different. And I want to tell some of you that you find yourself in places, your kids are in schools, you're at a work or whatever it is, and I'm telling you, God wants you to open your mouth in those places. Doesn't mean you must speak or preach to the people, but even in your own quiet time, you must pray and prophesy over that school. God wants to wake some of us up and say, go and walk around the schools, go and walk around your business, do something. But faith is action, and faith is speaking. God wants to... We don't understand the power that is in prophecy, people. That is the ability for us to pull down those godly promises into a reality, into that, from spiritual reality to the natural reality. It's our job to do that, is to prophesy things into being. For some of us, we need to pray about... No, do I look angry? I'm not angry, I'm actually smiling. Your children... When they sleep, pray for them. But I also want you to please prophesy over them. Not too loud that they wake up. But prophesy the stuff that you see God is putting in them. You're the one that must unlock it. You're the one that must prophesy it. Are you with me? That's faith. We sometimes just react on what we see. Don't be surprised if your kids are naughty. That's what they do. But prophesy, please speak and prophesy. Call things into being. Amen. Are you still with me? Hey, I think I'm finished now. Can we hand out the communion, please? Is there communion here for the English service? There was for the Afrikaans. So the question is, are you still walking in faith? Or are we just living in the natural? And I think it's an exciting time. Just like this guy cycling around Africa. It's exciting, man. It's exciting stuff. I want you to like that mustard seed of faith. You must ask God, God, what have you placed inside of me? Our prayers can start sounding differently. We can be like, you don't just feel that it's the pastor that accomplishes everything spiritually. No, it's what you can accomplish. What has God placed inside of you? What is it that stirs you? You know, I believe there's so many promises that are here in our midst that God has promised, but some of those promises are kind of a bit, I don't want to say dead. They're suffocated. And I believe God wants to make them alive again today. And He wants to give you new promises. He just wants to live you. He wants you to live by faith. Thank you. As they are just handing out the communion elements, I just want you to think. Just pray in your own spirit. God, what have you promised me? What is maybe dead? What is suffocated? And you know, I want to just say something. If in your relationship, I believe what I'm saying now is correct. I might be wrong, but I don't think so. If you've got a relationship with God where you cannot be honest with Him, and that means even honest in your frustration sometimes, in voicing your frustration, that's not love. That's not, I don't know, that's not how it is. So you can, in your relationship with God, you can tell Him, God, I'm frustrated. I'm worried about this. I want us just to close our eyes. And as we partake of the communion, Father, we thank you for your body that was broken. We pray that we will realize and call to remembrance what you have done for us, Father God. We thank you for your body that was broken as we partake of the bread. Father, we thank you for your blood that was shed for us. Father, we pray that your blood will wash just all our sins away and will revitalize your promises, God, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that you died for us on the cross and your blood was shed. And I just want, as we sit here, I want to pray for a group of people here in the morning. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you feel this morning, we must just pray for you that God will not restore your faith, but just breathe some new life into your faith walk with Him. Maybe you've got some promises that God is, as I was talking, is revealing to you again, and you're realizing, yo, this just needs a bit of a breath of fresh air in it again. And that's fine. That's okay. It's not a place of shame to acknowledge it. That's we human beings. We lack strength sometimes. And that's why situations like this is created in church, where we can edify each other. And I want to trust God that you are edified today. I don't want you to leave with that burden on your shoulders. So if you are here this morning and you feel that God wants is stirring something in your heart when it comes to faith, old promises, and you want prayer, then I just want you to raise your hand. Is there anybody that feels like that? Amen. Are there more people? Okay. Can I ask those people to be even more bold and come forward? This is not a moment of shame. Pastors need to come forward to this sometimes. We all go through this. We all go through this. God loves our humility. When we're humble, He says, I give grace to the humble, but I resist the proud. Amen. I'm going to close off in prayer, then we'll pray for these wonderful people. Don't go away before somebody prays me. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for 2019 and the promises that lies ahead. We thank you for old promises that you are revitalizing this morning. We thank you for faith, Father, that is the substance of things hoped for. Father, sometimes that we know we still hope, but we don't have substance. We'll ask that you return that substance into our lives, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Have a great Sunday.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.